We'll do that. Yeah, let's go, gang. I hope you hear me okay. Leo thought my mic was a little muffled or something, but we'll hope for the best and we'll keep moving. Let's go on in. Take a breath. Oh, look, heart-shaped candles today. Leo is so wonderful, so thoughtful. And every month when I'm here, we have been doing an open eye meditation. And you'll notice these moving flames, these flickering candles. That's what they're called. And I encourage everyone to, well, just notice the flames. Don't think about them any more than you have to. But notice the movement. Observe, as it were, as we take a breath in. We let that breath go in and through and all around us. And the candles continue to flicker. I'm going to take another breath in and through. As everyone mutes their mic, we continue to notice the flickering flame. Take another breath in. Let it go up to the highest part of your being. As you know, I like to affirm at the highest part of my being that the Christ in me is awake now. The Christ in me is awake now. It's very exciting to do that, to affirm that, because what I affirm is that the light in me is awake now. When I say the Christ in me, I mean the light, the truth, the wisdom, all the good that God is awake in me now. The Christ doesn't represent a person. It represents a consciousness. And it's one I aspire to live in all the time. The Christ in me is awake now. Christ in me. Anyone who cares to, I encourage you to affirm that with me now. The Christ in me is awake now. Continue to notice the flickering flame. Just observe it. Just let it be your focus. As we put aside the thoughts of the world, the thoughts of the day, the thoughts of anything else, we just notice that the Christ is awakened in us, and the flames continue to flicker. The light continues. As it is awakened in me, the light lets me see. We're going to go into the silence, and as you continue to focus on the flame, just remind yourself, the light lets me see. Don't concern yourself with what it lets you see. Just know, the light lets me see. And so I have today turned on the light, because it lets me see. Your in-breath, have the thought, the light lets me see. And on the out-breath, the light lets me see. Should you wander into other thoughts, bring it back. On the in-breath, have the thought, the light lets me see. On the out-breath, the light lets me see. Let's go on in, knowing the light lets us see. The light, the light, the light, the flickering candles, warming us, and they let us see the light of the flame. The light lets us see, and we're going to hold this flickering light in our mind's eye throughout the day. We're going to let this light in our mind's eye let us see. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here to this sanctuary, be it physical, be it emotional, be it spirit. Back here to this sanctuary called unity. As we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Now let's invite Karen Mason to sing this wonderful song. And as Karen sings, imagine its spirit. It's a very special message for each of us. Karen.
Now that it's your birthday, I don't know what to do. Can't give you a Thunderbird or a penthouse with a view. Can't even buy a little present. I'm much too broke, I find. But there is one way I may save the day, and I sure hope you don't mind that. I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while, you're sure to find happiness. And I guess all those things you've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelet, Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but day, you know darn well. can't give you anything. I can't give you anything. But
well, that was beautiful. My goodness. Thank you, Karen Mason. I appreciate it a lot. She's got a different song for the one after another standard. And I'm just thrilled when people say yes to us, when we ask them to share their talents with us. And she's like really thrilled to do it. It tickles her to be asked. She's so grateful for it. So today's talk is all about love. Love, 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 love. And then there is love. And well, I've been thinking about, you know, why would I, well, one thing, it was Valentine's Day this week. But I think most of us, well, that's a general issue. Many of us have a misconception about love. And we think love is associated, well, let's see, with the heart. So, you know, it's a lovely gold heart here I have with a hole in the back. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, there's a hole in my heart. And so to, you know, you look at this and you think, this is a heart. It's a heart-shaped heart. But it's not a heart. It's a paperweight that is shaped like a heart. I have another one. It's an amethyst-shaped heart. Now, in the back is the rest of the geode, and it's been cut out to be a heart-shaped, well, not heart, but paperweight. I've got a crystal bowl of hearts. Look at this. There's a purple one. Shoot, where do we go? Okay. It's a purple one. There's a blue one here. There's a pink one. There's all sorts of things. I've got a fuzzy heart. And I've got, and if you push the button, it beeps somewhere. Ooh, it vibrates. It's supposed to be good to hold next to you to make you feel good. None of these are hearts. And none of these are love in itself. And we associate the heart with love, I think, because the heart is a great feeling center. But love is God. And God is love. And I think it's ever so important to remember that. There is never an absence of love. There's just, there is the misperception of it. And there is the masking of it. But if God is love itself, how could there be an absence of love? For there to be an absence of love, there would have to be an absence of God. There would have to be an absence of life, really. And there isn't. There cannot be. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. And so to look at this, if the love of God enfolds us, then God is, because wherever we are, God is, and all is well. So there cannot be an absence of love. I believe our teachings have to be practical. If they're not, they're not worthless. They're not. They have no value. In unity and a new thought and metaphysics, if our teachings are not practical, they're really kind of valueless. They're romantic and they're sweet and they're nice. But if I can't use them at every minute of every day, every moment of every day, then they're not practical. And so when I came into unity, I had to find a way that what my teacher said, that everything was practical. All these mystical words, all these magical words. So often when I love you, what I really mean is I really like what you do for me. I like how I feel when I'm around you. I like how I feel when you do things for me or to me. And so therefore I must love you. And I really had to think about all that. I remember in a healing group I was in years ago, a woman one day, she was sharing, and she said, I really have a hard time with it that you all love me. And I thought, love you? I don't even like you. And then I thought about it. And I thought, but if she needed me, I'd be there for her. And I thought, that's closer to love, I think. I would do it just because. We are both beings, and one happens to need something that I have to offer. And that to me is the simplicity of love, the generosity of love. What I've come to terms with is that as God is love itself, God doesn't withhold love no matter how I behave, no matter where I come from, what part of town I come from, how much money I have or don't have, and how much money I give or don't give. Now, while we encourage giving, you know, I believe it is a spiritual exercise and ought to be done all the time because we're receiving all the time, hopefully. It's not, the love of God isn't based on that. Perhaps the love that I'm willing to experience of God is based on my giving level, but the love itself of God, it just is. It's in and through and around me, and it's all over me, and it's in you and around. It's in the people I like and the people I don't like. And so sometimes I feel the love. I feel that warm, fuzzy feeling. But often I don't, but that doesn't make it absent. Because if God is presence itself, and I believe God is presence itself, then God cannot be absent or absence. And so people ask, what's going on? Then how can such things happen in the world? Well, I think people forget. I think some people have turned love into greed. I think others want love to be nice, and love isn't always nice. It's generous. It's fair. It's possible to experience all the time. I suppose it's even possible to feel all the time, provided you make it less conditional. But love is. A few years ago, I decided to stop using the word God as much. Because as I was praying, I thought, I keep trying to get something from God. Now, as a little boy, of course, I was trained to ask God for stuff. And I grew up and I'd hear it in support groups, just ask God. Even in Unity, I hear people say, ask God if you want something. And then I heard a wise teacher say, God has given all that they can give. They can give. God has given all that God can give. And I thought, well, if that's the case, I assume I heard a teacher say that, either that was in my mind, but now it's my mantra. God has given to me all that God could ever give. Now will I give it to myself. Now will I love myself so much that I would give it to myself. It's a big question for all of us. Will we give ourselves our God, our love? Will we love ourselves so much to reveal the splendor of living, the splendor of life, the splendor of health and well-being? Would we give that to ourselves? And if we would, then we're in love. We're consciously in love. And that's where we want to get to. We want to get to consciously in love. So it's not, God loves me because I got a new car. God loves me whether I get a car or not. God loves me no matter how much money I have or don't have. Because God can't not love me. God is love itself. So anyway, I had to stop pestering God. That's all. I don't pester God. God's not a person to be pestered. God's not a thinking being. But I had to stop really delaying my manifestations by asking God for stuff. And I know sometimes we say, oh God, please give me this, and we get it. But I think that's a fluke that we prayed that way and got it. I think it's just somewhere in there. What we actually expressed is our willingness to experience it. And therefore, that's how the manifestation came about. And so would I ask myself to give me what I'm hoping God will give me, what I would hope if I pray. Is it not Emmett Fox, Matthew Fox, I forget which book, said that to pray for something is actually to affirm the absence of it. Because what we're doing is that we're declaring we do not have it. And so when I want to experience something now, I declare I am willing to experience this. I am willing to experience whatever it is I want. So anyway, back to love. So instead of the word God, I started using the word love in my prayer time. You know, love flows in and through me now. Love is the good I seek. Love is the abundance I seek. Love is. and cannot be absent. So therefore, and with that, I'm not asking love to give me anything. Love is. And as I affirm that, I become more and more aware as I look around that love is. And I don't romanticize it. I'm not much of a romantic. I don't look out at nature and say, oh, look at the love that God is as the trees blossom and blow. Or the, I mean, I enjoy it. A snowy lawn, and I enjoy a leaf-covered lawn, and I enjoy all of that, and because it's artwork. Our nature is art to me, and it's everywhere I look, no matter what the season is, art is taking place, and it's ever-changing, and it's ever-thrilling, and that is the love that is. It's not giving me anything, though. I am looking at it, and I notice a feeling in me. I notice a sensation in me. I notice a thought in me. And I'm making that up. I'm deciding that, oh, this is so beautiful. But I also decide, oh, this is so ugly. I decide all of it. And the love within me gives me the ability to decide all of it. So, but rather than asking for something other than love, reveal yourself to me now. I look at a ditch and I can say, love, reveal yourself to me in this ditch. Love, reveal yourself to me in things that I would criticize about myself. Love, reveal yourself to me in anything and everything. And so I don't take this and say it's love, even though it's a wonderful work of nature, but it's not love itself. And it's pretty and it's nice and I like looking at it, but it's not love itself, other than though love went into the making of it. But love is. I'm going to read something here from my favorite book. It's the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it's from Romans chapter 4. O child of God, there is one thing that you must know. You are loved. You are deeply and truly eternally treasured and loved. This love that is extended you from God and through God is not extended you for what you do. Therefore, this love cannot be stopped for what you do not. God's love extended to you is eternal because God's love extended through you is extended for what you are. There is no criteria on which this love is dependent. You see, we don't have to earn love. Love is. We just don't have to earn it. You are so loved. Oh, no, you are. Oh, that's it. There's no criteria on which this love is dependent. You are. And so you are loved. And this love is eternal. So you could say, I am. And so I am loved. I am, and so I am loved. Remember, I am is our God identity. I am, and so I am loved. Love is eternal. Existence is love, and love is existence. You are loved because God created you existence. In creating you, God extended itself and extended its truth. That which is enrichment was enriched further. So in your existence, God itself is enriched. This is why you are God's joy. You are his own enrichment. And that which enriches God must be enrichment itself. It's funny how this works. No part of you is absent from God's enrichment, for every part of you exists. And exist means to come out of, you know, to exit out of. And all of us come out of God. Each and every one is the people we like, the don't like, the clean, the dirty, the everybody's. We exit out of God and come into the door. And I chose. Doggone it. I wonder. There we go. Oh, I think I'm back. Almost back. This is tough. I don't want to lose it. Leo, how are we doing? Can I be heard?
You're okay. You're okay. It's coming back slowly. Just give it a second. Give it a second.
Not sure what's going on. Sorry, we're almost at the end of it.
Yeah. It should, sometimes it'll fix itself. So don't give up yet.
given up. I can always sign right back in if you want. But, I think I'm there. So let's hope. No part of you is absent from God's enrichment, for every part of you exists. Every part of you is a part of God's joy. Every part of you is welcome in the heart and smile of God, because every part of you is God's heart and God's smile, without exception and without reservation at all. God's love is God's promise to you, and God's love is eternal. It cannot be taken back, nor does God will that it be taken back. I love that. God is not a person. I will take your inheritance away from you. The inheritance is ours, and all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is say yes to it. And then, and then follow through on the yes. Of course, we have to do our stuff. We're not getting off the hook and think, I don't have to do anything. Of course, I have to do something. I have to live in love. If I am willing to believe God is love, love itself, then I have to follow through in my thoughts and my words and my actions. God is love itself. There are words like glory. There are words like peace and joy and wonder. I like the word wonder. And so to live in the wonder of God, that God is, one lives in the love that God is. So I encourage you, as you go through your day, to look around you and say, I live in love. I live in love. So I'm going to make even greater gestures at kindness. I'm going to make greater gestures toward peace. Just remember, the end of war is not peace. Peace is the end of war. We let it begin with us. So love is love is love is love is love. It can't not be. We cannot have an absence of love. And I'm so grateful for that. And so whatever you see from here on in, remember to affirm. There is no absence of love. Love is always present, and I am willing to see it and become aware of the aha to your system. Sometimes it'll be a shock to your system. Oh my goodness, look at this. Look at this. There is joy here. There is love here that I hadn't imagined. Look at you and let your heart go pitter-pat, pitter-pat, pitter-pat. Let your body go pitter-pat, pitter-pat, pitter-pat. Let your mind go pitter-pat, pitter-pat, pitter-pat. That the love is touching every aspect of you so that we can really get on board with a practically practiced existence within the conscious realization of love. Thanks, everybody. Let's hear Karen.
Dear, when you smiled at me, I heard a melody. It haunted me from the start. Something inside of me started a symphony. Zing went the strings of my heart. 'Twas like a breath of spring. I heard a robin sing about a nest set apart. All nature seemed to be in perfect harmony. Zing went the strings of my heart. Your eyes made skies seem blue again. What else could I do again? But keep repeating through and through, I love you, love you. I still recall the thrill. I guess I always will. I hope till never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, a rhapsody divine. Zing went the strings of my heart. Your eyes made skies seem blue again. What else could I do again but keep